At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls, a podcast that's here on the Odyssey.com. And, of course, you can check it out at the Google Play Store and, of course, iTunes, the Apple podcast. Download it, subscribe to it, all those things. And to give you an idea, I'm Pat Caputo, and I've covered sports from here till eternity. And I'm with Evan Jenkins, who is the webmaster in Detroit at 97.1 The Ticket and other things. And we've known each other for a long time, but I'm into drafts. So we look at drafts. I'm into prospects. We look at prospects, and I'm into the future. You know, everybody talks about history and the past and all that. We might drop a podcast on the Lions history or something along the lines, but for the most part, it's all about projections and the future. So it's drafts, prospects, and the future. Check it out. We do them on all the sports, Tigers, Lions, Red Wings, Pistons. But there's been a lot of focus on the NFL draft here with changing landscape with the Lions. So that's what we're doing here today, talking about the Lions, especially now that it looks like they're going to get the second overall pick, perhaps, from the unlikely source of the Rams. What Brad Holmes did, you know, for a while there wasn't looking too good, right? You know, Emin Fontu was the first pick they got, a third-round pick from Syracuse, a cornerback slash safety. He really hasn't done much. He's been hurt, and he just really hasn't performed much. That was from the Stafford deal. And, of course, they traded up for Jameson Williams, who just finally got on the field last week. So there's maneuverability, but, you know, getting that second first-round pick now is huge.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the Stafford deal you can debate all you want. We certainly have about Goff getting him back in the deal, but getting that second overall pick is huge value if they're able to hit another home run like they did last year with their own pick when they took Aiden Hutchinson, who's been about as good as any rookie not named Sauce Gardner in the NFL defensively this year. And I think for a lot of Lions fans, Evan, you want to check out all our different podcasts. We've talked about the quarterbacks a lot.
A lot.
And the whole Goff situation. And, you know, my feelings on that is Goff's not the long-term answer at quarterback. But I don't like this class of quarterbacks for early picks in the draft. If I have the second overall pick in the draft, and I don't care if Bryce Young is there, I would not take a quarterback at that pick. Maybe with the next pick, which will be either, I don't know, kind of middle of the first round where the Lions pick is ultimately going to land. As we're taping this or preparing for Minnesota, they have a 5-7 record. You know, they've won a few games here, which they're not going to be hurt by doing simply because the Rams are unlikely to win the rest of the year with all their injuries. So, but I would not, with that first pick, take a quarterback. I would not take Bryce Young. And I would not take C.J. Stroud. I wouldn't take Will Levis. None of those guys. I would take that early in the draft, and nor would I, based on what I know. And a lot can change with combine and things. Yeah, keep that in mind. But I would take another defensive player probably with the next pick. There are some good offensive players, but this draft, the high-end players are defensive players. So I'll tell you four players that I look at for the Lions. If they're there and they get one of these players or two of these players, it would be a good haul based on what I know at this point. Obviously, Will Anderson from Alabama. I'm expecting him to be the first overall pick in the draft. He has the best physical tools. He's been productive. And he's an edge rusher, so it's a premier position defensively. I look at him as being the top guy. Then I look at a tackle, Jalen Carter from Georgia. And he's somebody that's going to test off the charts. And when he does test off the charts, his people talking about him being really good, they're going to start talking about him being really great. And he plays for a high profile program that's produced a lot of top players, obviously, in Georgia. And then the third player that I look at, and I love this guy for the Lions. He's a three technique tackle. He reminds me of Ndamukong Suh in his physical abilities. He's got that natural strength. He just throws people around. He's quick. He was a top prep player in the country. It's Brian Barisi from Clemson. And I expect Miles Murphy also. I'm not sold on him just watching him, but his physical tools, like Carter, a lot of people are going to start looking at him and starting to love him as the draft. So those are the four players that I would look at for the Lions as being the ideal guys early in that draft. Is being able to take off. It leans the defense. There's one receiver that I really like, and that's Quentin Johnson from TCU. I think he's an outstanding pro prospect, but that's the only one. Smith Njigba has been hurt,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. He just didn't seem to really want to come back. And I know Bosa pulled that a few years ago, but and it ended up working out well. He's a great player.
Absolutely.
Younger Bosa. Nick, but looking at him, I would say that there would be a slide there. Addison from USC, top receiver and everything, I think he's going to be really good in the first-round guy. I just think Johnson from TCU's just got more sizzle, more speed, more high-end deep ball ability.
Yeah.
So that's where I look at it. For this, I don't think the Lions should be drafting any of the offensive linemen. There isn't somebody that's worth reaching for when all things are considered equal position-wise. It's obviously not that big a need for them at this point. And running back will be something that I think they can address in the other picks that they have. What is it, top 65? They're probably going to have five picks.
Yeah,
so... there are a number of good backs. I don't think you should stretch for a Bijan Robinson, although he's very good. I wouldn't do that at this point. But I would try to solidify the defense. That's how I would look at it. And the corners, I like a couple of the corners. There's no Sauce Gardner in this, and I don't even think there's a Stingley in it. Kyle Hamilton, he's been a pretty good pro.
Yeah.
Safety. I like Kylie Ringo a lot from Georgia. Because of his size, and he's somebody that can cover outside receivers. And I also like the kid from South Carolina a lot, Cam Smith. That's somebody to look at. So there you go. And if the Lions, they don't get somebody, maybe Mozzie Smith will be there in the second round for them, Evan.
Sure. And, he's a big run stopper there. But, Pat, did you watch the SEC championship game by chance?
Yes, I did.
Did you happen to see the play where Carter sacked Jaden Daniels,
right,
picked him up with one arm, and with the other arm held up a number one? And I saw that, and that was something, I like watching sports for things I've never seen before. That was something I have never seen before, to pick up the quarterback with one arm and to celebrate with the other. It was wild.
The thing, Evan, about Carter and the thing about Barisi and the thing that I always look for when it comes down to defensive linemen inside, I'm not talking about the huge guys that are 350 pounds that you plop on the nose. You know, although, you know, somebody like Aylin McNeil was playing well for the Lions, and they had a player a long time ago, Jerry Ball, who was like that. Mm-hmm. Were freakish athletes. Vince Wallfalk was like that and all that. And some players like Haloti Ngata, they're just huge and they're like that. But I'm talking about that 305, 310-pound.
Like an Aaron Donald Sue type deal where they have a six-pack.
Yeah, Aaron Donald is considered undersized.
Right.
But Aaron Donald does fit into this category, and Carter does, and so does Barisi.
Mm-hmm.
They're not guys that had to spend a lot of time. I'm sure they have, but they haven't had to spend a lot of time in the weight room to get strong. They have what is natural strength. All right. They're just strong, and they're strong in a football sense. And so when you're playing inside and those guards are at least as big as you, but they're kind of, you know, the reason they're guards is that they don't work real well in space. You know, as compared to tackles who have to more footwork and they're kind of brawlers, you need somebody in there who can do that. And what the Lions, they have a good nose and a guy that they can flip out, but what they need is a three technique tackle to kind of solidify everything on their defensive line. They could use another edge, depending on what happens with the Okoras moving forward and some of the other factors.
Right.
You know, this development with James Houston is amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it, Pat? Is that a flash in the pan, or do you think that's actual development there?
Well, look, that tackle, did you see the play against Jacksonville, right?
Yeah, against it, right? Trevor Lawrence, where I thought he ripped his leg off, yeah.
Yeah, that tackle was an amazingly violent, swift, like a snake strike.
Well, yeah, because he like stutter stepped on the way that he was coming in to rush, which is another thing I don't really remember seeing too much.
Well, the tackle, you know, and this hasn't been talked enough about it, is one of the better tackles in the league. He did that too.
Yeah.
And Cam Robinson. So there obviously is a special gift. And this isn't some kid that was like a one star coming out of high school and nobody knew about it and went to Florida first.
Yeah, and then he just had some problems, but he went to a junior college and played his ass off, and then he went to HBCU.
But to come in and just get sacks like that.
Crazy.
You know, it's very impressive. It's like all of a sudden a wide receiver shows up and he's running right by the fastest cornerbacks.
Right.
So what he did was, you know, so my point about it is this also fills a need. This could be something that's very solidifying. So if I were looking at the Lions and what they're doing, and I wouldn't have a problem if they took Will Anderson because he's, you know, maybe the best player available. But Carter and Barisi are two players. And you might see Miles Murphy test so well that he's going to skyrocket up above everybody. Those four players right there to me are that. And then when I look at the corners, I like Cam Smith. I like Kylie Ringo a lot. The kid Gonzalez from Oregon's pretty good. It's corner, inside, three technique tackle is where I'm kind of identifying where the Lions probably should be going with those first two picks.
And now the last thing from me on the draft, and just talking about the quarterbacks that we had that you started this episode with, and you said, you know, things could change. Is there anything in particular in your mind from now to when that draft takes place in April that a Bryce Young or somebody like that could change your mind? Or is it just like you've seen enough on the field and you know what you're going to get out of these guys?
Well, I think one of them is Levis.
Yep. He just declared today, as a matter of fact.
Well, honestly, Evan, I've watched this guy pretty much every one of his games. And when I watched that Vanderbilt game, that was it. All right. I mean, that was terrible. And I haven't seen it. Honestly, I haven't seen it. And he is on a pretty good team. He had a good running back in Rodriguez and some things. I just didn't see it. I mean, I can see somebody who's obviously draftable,
mm-hmm.
but not, you know, franchise quarterback thing. Another player that's going to be interesting, I mentioned him a lot before, and he checks a lot of boxes. And, you know, he may end up being the best quarterback in this draft. It's not out of the realm of possibility. is Tanner McKee from Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue with him is he was thrown to wide receivers. Well, we both played receiver in high school. These guys ran like us.
Currently and, or in high school?
Yeah, in high school. Yeah. We both caught a few balls in high school. Well, two slowest wide receivers in the history of Metro Detroit High School football here with you.
The passes for us to catch are those swing passes where they just kind of hand it to you.
No, with me, it was always the stupid drag pass where, you know, one time I tried to dance in the field and the coach goes, just find the first guy and run, try to run him over. We didn't throw you the ball to run it, you know. And so it was like, you know, the Stanford didn't have much talent. You know, the program was falling apart. The competition was up a little bit in the Pac-12, but he was good. I watched him play. He made some nice throws. He throws on all the different platforms that you want a quarterback to throw to. He's got a deep ball. He's not mobile, though. He's a pocket passer. And he's older. He went on a Mormon mission. But he's pretty good. I'm not saying he isn't. But that would be somebody that you know, might skyrocket a little bit or might drop down, that he's going to be interested in. He might be an option if the Lions look at their quarterback situation and they want a certain type of quarterback that kind of fits into what Goff does. And they want somebody that might be better long term, you know, with the slot and all that. Tanner McKee would be, you know, the comparable. There's a lot of Jared Goff and Tanner McKee.
Does Stetson Bennett have an NFL future?
No. I don't believe so.
I mean, you know, he's as old as Lamar Jackson.
No, he's a great college quarterback.
Crazy.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, but if you look at his numbers, I just got through, you know, going through the process of voting for the Heisman and all that. His numbers aren't overwhelming. You know, he's had a couple big games here. He's obviously clutch.
Yeah.
And the formula at Georgia is, you know, they did the same thing basically with Jake Fromm. So he's, you know, kind of Jake Fromm like.
Okay.
You know, he distributed the ball. A little better athlete, but not as good of a passer. But that's kind of in the category. I'm not expecting him necessarily to get drafted.
Okay.
Actually. But, you know, it's hard to dismiss the guy. He's been incredible.
Right. That's what I say. Like, he's lost one game in the last 2 years. It's hard to dismiss him, like you said. Yeah. And also, just to be clear, you're not against the Lions taking a quarterback later in the draft. You're just specifically saying that high with that early on pick.
What I'm telling you is that somebody like me,
yeah,
who spends a lot of time looking at this, it's my fun thing. All right. I'd be patting myself on the back about how much hard work I'm doing for my job. In actuality, this is a lot of fun for me to go all through all these things and all these sports. It's something I'm intrigued with for whatever reason. And I can't tell who's necessarily going to be outstanding. I've come on a lot. Remember I talked about Herbert being a great quarterback and the draft gurus were full of crap.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the other things that I've been right on with this. Allen, I could see all the boxes checked. Herbert, Trevor Lawrence. Tua, I wasn't that high on. And if Bryce Young is going to be great, he's going to be great like Tua. One of the things that I've read about comparables, they're trying to compare him to Kyler Murray and Russ and Patrick Mahomes because they're not that tall, right?
Right.
But this is something to point out. As far as I know, Bryce Young has no baseball background, does he? I haven't heard about it. But
no.
Patrick Mahomes was as good a baseball prospect growing up as he was football. His father was a major leaguer, right?
Yeah. Pitcher.
Yeah, you had.
Did you know the Tigers drafted Patrick Mahomes, Pat?
Yeah, they did, actually.
I know they did.
And you had a situation with Kyler Murray,
yep,
which Kyler Murray, you know, he was considered as good a baseball prospect. Oakland wanted him badly and all that. And with Russell Wilson, actually played professional baseball.
Well, and hell, with Kyler Murray, he was drafted fifth overall knowing that he was going to play football. That's how crazy that one was.
But he's so, you know,
yeah.
But here's the thing. Why are those guys are shorter? Why are they able to get away with that? And what would baseball have to do with it? They're all middle infielders. And if you take a traditional football player like Matthew Stafford, when he tried to do the same thing, how did it look? And Matthew Stafford actually had a baseball background too, but it was, you know,
I heard he was a catcher like somewhere.
Yeah. He played with a major leaguer. I didn't know if you knew this, his pitcher named Kershaw.
I've heard it once or twice.
Yeah. A few times. Well, what is the key with those shorter guys like that who do that? They make like infield baseball throws. Think about it. How do they get around the throwing lane sometimes or whatever? What's their maneuver? How do they get rid of the ball quickly?
Sidearm.
When they do it, does it look awkward?
Right.
They throw from different arm angles. Like a shortstop would be turning a double play. And I don't think Bryce Young's like that. I think if he is a comparable, you know, he's a right-handed Tua. You know, a system guy who throws good ball. Him, Stroud, throw good balls at all the different platforms. You know, short, deep, you know, they have touch. Those things aren't a problem. They're definitely, if they're taken early in the draft, it's not necessarily a stretch. I'm just telling you what I think. They don't check boxes like Josh Allen did. They don't check boxes like Herbert did. They don't check boxes like Trevor Lawrence did. They don't check boxes like Justin Fields did. You know, it's a little bit different. You know, the thing with Stroud is he, again, accurate passer, big-time program, great kid. You know, everybody knows that. But here's the thing. You know, have you ever seen him escape from anybody?
Not really.
He gets under duress, man, it's kind of like over.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like where you can throw on a thing of Justin Herbert running through the entire Wisconsin defense to win the Rose Bowl. Or Trevor Lawrence running through the Ohio State defense or Alabama defense like he did.
Right.
While they can make all the throws and they're 6'6". Or they're like Josh Allen. I don't know. Josh Allen, I don't think anybody knew. There's a tremendous competitor in there. We saw it on Thanksgiving in Detroit. And maybe one of these guys has that. But that's really hard to gauge until it actually happens. You know, because it's a whole different world in the NFL that way.
Yeah.
So, to me, the quarterbacks would probably be something that would be out. But I do think the Lions, Evan, are on the right track. You know how it is. In your illustrious career, you screen phone call, and, you know, all of a sudden the goo starts to come out, and it's all sweet and sugary.
Yep.
And now everybody thinks the Lions are the greatest thing since, you know, sliced bread because they won a couple games. But it's good that a sixth-round pick like Malcolm Rodriguez is the starter, and a fourth-round pick like Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like a star, is played like a star.
Yes.
It's good when Ayla McNeil is a solid player in the middle of your line, and you hit on a number two pick at a key position like Aiden Hutchinson. And, you know, there's a number of things. When you talk about Kirby Joseph and Jerry Jacobs, you know, playing in their secondary, those guys aren't too bad. I mean, you know, Joseph's made some big, big time plays. I like a lot of things about what the Lions are doing right now. And I know the quarterback situation is an albatross. But I expect them that of those first five picks, at some point, you got to take a quarterback. But I don't think it's going to be right at the top. I don't think it should be, actually, based on what I know. But if they do take a quarterback, I would tell you that I would do this. I would be fair to see whether their evaluation is right. I mean, because, you know, Josh Allen, when they traded up for him, Bills got skewered, you know. Mahomes, same thing. You know, people weren't expecting that. It's not drafting a quarterback. It's drafting the right one and maneuvering the salary cap the proper way. But the Lions definitely made a lot of progress in a relatively short period of time. And that's a good thing. And I wouldn't dismiss it.
Yeah, either would I. I mean, it's the most optimistic I've been about the Lions in a long time. And, I mean, there's still reason to pause because of, you know, everything that's ever transpired with the team. But even for me to say that and say I'm optimistic, you can't just sit and be like, yeah, they're going to lose. You know what I mean? Like, those days, I think, are hopefully over where you can just.
Well, they bounced back twice.
Right.
You know, from really bad starts. Now, at some point, you have to get off to a good start. That becomes stale. But there's some resiliency there from this organization, the coach, the staff, the general manager, whatever, where they've done things. The Hockenson trade was great.
Yeah.
That was a great trade by them. I mean, it really was. You know, it's not that Hockenson, you know the story, man. You don't take a tight end eighth overall. If they take Michael Meyer like number two, then I'll quit. He's really good, though. He's really good.
He is. He also declared today.
Yeah. Well, everybody, yeah.
I know.
You're going to see that. So it's going to be a lot of fun with everything coming up here in the offseason. Of course, the end of the season here, it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, Jameson Williams starts to contribute. And it's just a really it's a fun time. Football's great, man. I love it, man. I just can't get enough of it. And when the Lions win a few games or lose a few games, I don't care. I love it anyway. So, and I love the draft. So until next time, don't forget to download the Odyssey.com. Don't forget to go to Apple, the iTunes store, and subscribe. And put some nice comments there for you if you like it. We always appreciate feedback, and also Google Play Store, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep.
We're pretty much everywhere. And I think our logo deserves an award.
I agree.
Either busting balls or crushing cronies or cojones, and we decided on busting balls. So, but anyway, Evan, enjoyed it. Until next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.